Hello and welcome to the 23rd day of May and our psychology article for this month. Hello everyone, I'm Campbell and it is great to be back here in the studio with all of you. And thanks for joining us for today's program. I've got some special guests in the studio with me. First, my good friend Gordon. How are you today, Gordon?
Hello Campbell, hello everyone. I'm very well. I'm excited because we've got lots of other people with us in the studio.
That's right. Now Gordon, we're talking about crazy people today. Are you a crazy person?
I try not to be.
You seem pretty normal and pretty calm.
Yeah,
most of the time.
I pride myself on being calm and relaxed in all different kinds of situations.
All right, well, we'll see how you do in today's program. All right, and we've also got some other special guests here, and they're all the way from Seattle in the United States. All right, we've got some nurses here from Northwest University. Can you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is Joyce. I'm very excited to talk with you all.
Joyce, where are you from?
I'm from South Korea. I born and raised in South Korea for 16 years, and I immigrated into Seattle and lived there for like 10 years.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay, and next to Joyce we have...
I'm Melissa. It's great to be here. I'm actually originally from a very small town in Washington State called Enumclaw.
Mm-hmm.
It's very country, so.
Enumclaw. That's an interesting name. All right, cool. And I hear you have a puppy.
Yes, I do. She's 3 years old, and she's a Rottweiler Australian Shepherd mix, and I love her dearly.
Awesome. Okay, and we have two other guests here.
Hello, my name is Jenna. And I am actually from Idaho, and I go to school in Seattle.
Okay, and?
My name is Marina, and originally I'm from Russia. I really like sport activities. I'm very outgoing and active person.
I ski, run,
and do scuba diving.
Wow, okay, pretty cool. So we don't usually get people from all over the world in the studio, so I think it's really cool to get some different perspectives and different personalities in here. We have a really interesting article for all of you today. It's called Talking to Crazy, all right? And it's actually a book called Talking to Crazy, written by a man who is a psychologist. His name is Mark Golston. And it's a book about dealing with irrational and impossible people in your life. Do you guys know any irrational or impossible people?
Well, I think we have probably all encountered maybe our friends or our family at different times who just for whatever reason they get in a mood and just maybe we all act a little bit crazy from time to time.
Sure. I think when we're all under stress, I mean, I've definitely acted irrationally or I've been a little impossible with my wife and with my family.
What about and being in nursing school, you definitely encounter a lot of irrational emotions. A lot of stress.
With your fellow students or with patients?
Fellow students, patients, anyone you come in contact with, really.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure this is something that we all have to deal with from time to time, right? There's different people in the world, and we interact with different personalities, and certain people are, for whatever reason, more difficult to deal with. And how do we handle that? How do we handle that in a good way and not exacerbate the problem, make the problem worse, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We've got some interesting tips. Some of them are a little bit counterintuitive, which just means that it kind of goes against what you would think is the right thing to do. But we'll discuss what you guys think about that. All right. So if you've got your magazine, please open up to page 34. Or if you've got your mobile device, please turn to your article, Talking to Crazy. And we will start on the left-hand column.
Talking to Crazy. How to deal with the irrational and impossible people in your life. Prescriptions for handling difficult people. In his new book, Talking to Crazy, psychiatrist Mark Golston offers a counterintuitive prescription to dealing with the irrational and the impossible. Lean into the crazy. Don't argue or try to reason with these people, he writes. Instead, treat them as if they are rational, show them that you are not a threat, and then move them to sanity. His prescription is based on what he calls the sanity cycle, which consists of 6 steps. See that the other person is acting crazy. Identify the other person's MO, such as extreme emotion, hopelessness, manipulation, or martyrdom. Deal with your own crazy. Go to the other person's crazy. Show that you are not a threat. And move the person to a sane place.
All right, so let's talk about talking too crazy. Now, when we talk about the word crazy, what do we mean, Gordon?
So when we're talking about the word crazy, we often refer to people who are not acting usually. They're very difficult to read.
Mm-hmm.
There are kind of 2 types of crazy. We have a medical term for crazy people, which
right.
I'm sure our nurses can help with.
Right, yes.
And then there's also just normal everyday people who sometimes don't act as they should and are just not
right.
thinking straight.
Yeah, so when we're talking about crazy, we're just talking about someone who is acting very erratically, and you can't really explain, you know, and they're very emotional, all right? And as Gordon was saying, there's 2 types of crazy, right? There's the medically and the clinically, the insane, right? But then there's just people who act kind of crazy, you know, and I think we all act crazy from time to time. You know, we get really emotional because of stress or because of different things that happen. So again, we'll be talking about that again tomorrow, but I want to clarify that when we're talking about this talking to crazy, we're not talking about the medically certifiably insane. We're just talking about regular people who sometimes act not normal, right? And so our subtitle here says, how to deal with the irrational and impossible people in your life. What does this word irrational mean?
I would say somebody who's not thinking clearly or not making sense.
Right. So someone who is doing things that aren't really normal, right? You might think, okay, it doesn't require that kind of reaction, right? Why are you flying off the handle? You have that idiom in English, flying off the handle. Why are you getting so mad over such a little thing, right? Someone who's behaving erratically, right? Or impossible people, people who are really difficult to deal with, right? You, no matter what you say, they're not going to listen to you. Okay, so we have prescriptions for handling difficult people. Now, you guys are nurses. What is a prescription?
A prescription is something that the doctor orders for you. So, you know, a medical drug or a therapy that you probably should be doing.
Okay, so this is something that's supposed to cure or to help, right? Again, we're not talking about medically, clinically crazy people, but, you know, it's just kind of a phrase. It's an interesting phrase. We are talking about a psychologist, so we're talking about, you know, a way to help these difficult people. How do we handle these difficult people? All right, so we are talking about a book called Talking Too Crazy. Now, psychiatrist Mark Galston offers something for us, Gordon.
Yeah, he offers us a counterintuitive prescription. So we've just heard that a prescription is a device that will help us deal with these people who are acting very difficult. But now, Mark Galston says it's going to be counterintuitive. So mm-hmm. it's not going to be what we would expect.
Right. So what are some things that you would do if you met a crazy person normally?
Well, maybe you would want to stop them being crazy and you want to control them and maybe shout at them or try and like explain to them straight off how they're just driving you crazy.
Right. So intuition is just kind of like what you would normally do, your natural reaction to something, right? So your intuition might tell you to argue with them or to try to, you know, convince them that they're wrong, right? But he gives us counterintuitive, so it's kind of against what we would normally think would make sense, all right? So he's giving us some counterintuitive advice to dealing with irrational people. Now, I do want to point out this word irrational, and later on we do have the word rational, all right? So these are opposites. When we see the prefix IR, it kind of means not, right? So rational means you're thinking clearly, you're making sense. Irrational means you're not thinking clearly, you're not making sense, all right? So he tells us, and his advice is to lean into what?
Lean into the crazy.
That's right. Lean into the crazy. That sounds interesting. What does it mean to lean into something?
Lean into the crazy?
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of go with the flow, let the ball roll. In right. other words, just keep going with it.
That's right. So don't fight against it. Don't try to change it, but to kind of go with the crazy, right? So he tells us, don't argue or try to reason with these people, right? So that's the intuition, again. It's the idea that we want to try to convince them and show them that they're wrong, show them that they're not acting rationally, right? But he's telling us to go with it, right? And instead, treat them as if they are rational, which is interesting. That's not always easy to do, right? If you see someone doing something wrong, our natural intuition is to fight against that. Right? But he's kind of giving us the opposite advice of that.
Right. And I feel like if you get on the same level as someone, it's easier to see where they're at and to try and connect.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that's been proven, right? When you're trying to convince someone of something, instead of starting off your argument with, well, you're wrong, finding some common ground, right? Accepting them and agreeing with them, and then allowing them to bring down their walls.
Right, and even in the hospital when we're working with patients who maybe even are having hallucinations, which I know we'll talk about later, we don't automatically start out with saying, no, that's wrong. We try to bring them slowly around to reality and ask them questions.
Right, okay. So that's a good example, right? So instead of like saying, hey, you're crazy, what are you doing? Being, you know, walking with them and kind of finding, getting them to trust you, right? And that's the second point, is to show them that you're not a threat, right? You don't want them to feel like you're coming at them and that you're arguing with them.
Yeah, if you attack people, it's like straight off the bat, if you say to someone like, you're crazy or you're not making any sense, then they're going to become very defensive. They're not going to want to listen to the rest of what you have to say. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, if someone's acting crazy, you have to, like, be their friend first, and then they're going to be like, want to come to your level.
Right, exactly. And I think this, I think we've all dealt with things, situations where we kind of are in a disagreement with someone. And if you really think about it, when you are hard and they are hard, that just kind of makes the problem even worse. But when you're able to soften yourself and kind of just listen to what they're trying to say and kind of agree with certain things that you can agree with, it helps to kind of make the situation less explosive in some ways.
Plus, if the individual is already emotional, it's going to be hard to try and see their view.
Right, yeah. And so when that person is emotional and you add on your emotion, it's kind of adding fuel to the fire, right? It just kind of makes things even worse, right? So learning how to get yourself out of the situation and kind of, as we say, lean into the crazy, right? Treat them as if they are rational.
Also, there is another idiom in English language, put yourself in shoes of others.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you have experience like they have, and you show them that you understand them clearly. And
right, so putting yourself in other people's shoes, right? So doing things and trying to see things from their perspective, right? And that often helps when we're dealing with difficult situations to really communicate. And that is the key to really getting any kind of solution in a situation, right? And so the last step is to move them to sanity. Now, sanity is one of our specialized terms. What does the word sanity mean, Joyce?
Sanity describes as the condition of having a healthy and sound mind, and seeing them their normal state, and trying not to control them out,
right?
Because they might think that, oh, you're controlling me over, and you don't even understand.
Right.
So
yeah. So a lot of times when we get angry or we're anxious, we kind of get irrational. We start getting really emotional, right? And our goal is to help these people to go from the emotion to kind of be more logical, right? And to help them to be more sane and not be so, as we say, crazy, okay? So his prescription in this article, okay, line 10 says, his prescription is based on what he calls the what?
The sanity cycle.
Mm-hmm. So the sanity cycle consists of 6 steps, all right? So what is step number 1, Jenna?
You'd want to see that person and the other person is acting crazy, so you'd want to recognize what's going on.
Right. So you want to acknowledge, okay, this person isn't acting sane. He's kind of, or she's kind of acting crazy. All right. And what is step number two, Gordon?
The second step is identify the other person's M.O.
Okay. So M.O. is kind of an abbreviation. It's an acronym. What is M.O.?
From the Latin language, M.O. means modus operandi, which is a method or way of something is done.
Right. So oftentimes we'll talk, you know, you might watch a crime show on TV, right? And we'll talk about the murderer and his M.O. What was his way of doing things, right? So his modus operandi or modus operandi, either way is fine, all right? So we want to see how are they reacting? What is their way of dealing with the situation? And what are some examples that we see here?
Some examples that we see would be extreme emotion, mm-hmm. crying, anger, mm-hmm. Hopelessness, manipulation, or even martyrdom.
Right. So different ways that people react to certain situations, right? Some people, Melissa was saying, some people kind of get really sad. They kind of start crying. They start yelling. Okay, that's the extreme emotion. Hopelessness is just the idea of just feeling like, oh, you know, there's no point, you know, and what is the point of life, and just feeling like everything is pointless, right? And then manipulation. What is manipulation, Gordon?
Manipulation is another one of our words, so we've got another vocabulary focus. And manipulation is controlling someone or something to your own advantage, often unfairly or dishonestly.
Right.
So we talk about manipulative people, mm-hmm. and people who try to use other people for their own purposes, mm-hmm. Maybe through, like, so not so direct means, but kind of being a bit mean to them.
Right, right, yeah, okay. And the last one is martyrdom, which is an interesting term. In the word martyrdom, we see the word martyr. Now, what is a martyr?
I think even like in the term I most often hear it in is the mission field. Mm. When a missionary dies for a certain cause, mm-hmm. that's more of an extreme extent. But here, I would say it's more just putting yourself out there, available to become, I guess, emotionally vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in other words, a martyr is someone who dies for a cause, right? They might die for a belief or their religion. Jesus Christ is an example of a martyr, right? Someone who is killed because of something that they believed in, okay? But in this case, they're not really martyrs, but they treat themselves like martyrs. They treat themselves like, fine, I'll sacrifice myself because everybody hates me and this world is against me. And so this is kind of how some people deal with problems. They just like feel like everybody's against them and they're just, woe is me, right? So that's kind of the idea of martyrdom. And then the next step after you identify the M.O. is what? Dealing with
your own crazy.
Dealing with your own crazy, because we all have our own crazy, right? So a lot of times we see other people's crazy, we see other people's emotion, but we have to acknowledge that we all have our own crazy from time to time, right?
Yeah, and this might be the part that we really think is counterintuitive of these steps, is you're dealing with someone else's being crazy and acting irrationally. And then you're only on the third step here, and you're going to say, wait, I can also be crazy too.
Right. And I think recognizing your own emotion, because when other people start getting mad at you and emotional, you also, the natural reaction is to kind of start responding in that way. So you need to acknowledge your own crazy as well.
And I think that has a lot to do with the whole fact of leaning into the crazy. You have mm-hmm. to accept your own in order to get on the same playing field.
Right. So realizing your own emotion as well. Yeah. Okay. And the next step is to go to the other person's crazy. So meet them where they are, right, and acknowledge that they're not acting normal. And then you want to show that you're not a threat. So you want to show them that I'm not here to attack you, I'm not here to hurt you, I just want to deal with the situation, right? And what is the last step?
You want to move that person to a sane place or sanity.
Right, okay. So this sounds maybe very complicated. Let's take a look at an example of how he puts this into practice, all right? So join us in the second column of today's article.
The Man in the Pickup. Gulston tells a startling personal story of road rage gone right that illustrates the sanity cycle in practice. After one of the worst professional days of his life, a preoccupied Gulston cut off the same person, a very large man in a pickup, twice. The second time, the man blocked Gulston's car, emerged from his pickup truck in a rage, and started pounding on the window of the car. Gulston lowered the window and said, "Have you ever had such an awful day that you're just hoping to meet someone who will pull out a gun and put you out of your misery? Are you that someone?" Before long, the stunned other driver was trying to comfort Gulston, explaining to him that life really wasn't that bad. This story is an example of the belly roll, one of the many techniques that Gulston offers his readers. In more technical terms, this is called assertive submission, an apt name. It takes a certain amount of assertiveness to say to a crazy person, "You're right. Do what you have to do."
All right, let's lean into the crazy. Let's talk about this story that Gulston tells about the man in the pickup. When we're talking about a pickup, we're talking about a truck. Okay, a pickup truck. Now, Gulston tells a startling personal story of road rage. Okay, first, let's talk about road rage. What is road rage?
Road rage is a violent or angry behavior exhibited by drivers while driving in streets. In stressful driving conditions. For example, when people try to cut you out several times and pull out in front of you, it creates stressful situation and unsafe on the roads.
Right. So road rage is basically people getting mad because other people are not driving the way they like, right? Any of you have any examples of road rage, a story of road rage?
Yeah, I have a good example. I was a bridesmaid in a wedding, traveling with other bridesmaid in a car, and there were two lanes, and one of the lanes ended because there was construction, and there was a truck that cut in behind us, and then finally when the construction ended, the truck passed us and for some reason was mad and flipped us off as they drove past us.
Which means kind of cursed them, right?
Right.
With their hand.
Right. And so then they drove out in front of us, then passed over to the other lane. We came to another construction zone, and again, we ended up in front of them. So when they passed us again, they pulled in behind us and they were tailgating us, basically meaning that they were
driving
very
really close.
Yeah. So when we came to two lanes again, they finally passed us and we let them go by and we continued on our way to the wedding. And by the time we arrived at the church, some of us realized that this truck had groomsmen that some of us were walking down the aisle with. So it became a very awkward, but I think the moral of the story is you never know who's in the other car.
Right, so be careful with your road rage. I know sometimes you get angry or annoyed when people don't drive the way you want them to, right? But you need to be careful. All right, so Gulston met with someone, and this guy had road rage, right? Because Gulston was preoccupied. He was thinking about other stuff. Right, and he had a really bad day, so he wasn't really paying attention as he was driving, and he ended up accidentally cutting off the same person, which just means that he ended up kind of suddenly driving in front of the other person, right? Now, this made the other person, a very large man in a pickup, very angry, right? So what did this man do?
He gets out of his truck and, you know, pounds on the window and is trying to get Goldstein's attention and
right.
is clearly upset.
Right. Now, most people, if someone's doing that, your natural reaction is to get defensive and be like, "What the heck, right? Why are you pounding on my window? It's not my fault. I'm not trying to do anything to you," right? And so you kind of meet anger with anger, right? But what did Gulston do?
Yeah, this is really interesting. It's really unique. So we've gone through the first couple of the steps. He's seen that the other person's acting crazy. He's recognized that this person's MO is probably anger. And then he really goes for the deal with his own crazy, winds down the window, and just he says this statement: "Have you ever had such an awful day that you're just hoping to meet someone who would pull out a gun and put you out of your misery?" Which is, yeah, it's very counterintuitive.
Are you that someone, right? So it kind of like, so if you think about it, it's, in a way, it's kind of like this bomb, right? It's this bomb that's about to go off. And basically, he kind of diffuses the bomb, right? He just kind of like puts out the guy's anger by kind of like disarming him in a way, right? Because, I mean, he's just like, you know, I kind of want to die. Can you do that for me, right? And that's kind of like, whoa. Because in a way, like when he's pounding on that window, he's got that anger, which is kind of in a way like he wants to hurt him, right? Mm-hmm. That's his method, Bob. He wants to hurt him, right? And so he's leaning into that like, yeah, could you please? And that's just kind of like totally like throws the guy off. And then what ends up happening?
The driver is stunned and tries to comfort Goldstein. I mean, if I walked up to someone's window and they just tell me that they want their life to be ended, I think that I would be diffused myself and right. My anger would probably be gone.
Right. So he went from the total being angry to being like, wait, no, guy. Like, hey, don't worry about it. I'm not, you know, like, it's not that bad, right? Ends up totally the opposite. And it's a really great illustration of leaning into the crazy, right? So instead of fighting against it, he just kind of went with it and was just like, all right, yeah. But I think we need to be careful. I definitely think we need to be careful. You need to, you know, kind of like really evaluate the situation. You don't want to really deal with a really crazy person and be like, are you here to kill me? And then he's like, yeah. You know, that would be bad, right? So really use this carefully. All right, so this story is an example of the belly roll. And the belly roll is, there's a sidebar there. Gordon, can you read what the belly roll is?
Certainly. What is a belly roll? The belly roll is named after the habits of animals that indicate their submission to other dominant animals by lying on their backs and showing their bellies.
All right, so it's kind of flipping over and being submissive. And we'll talk more about that later. But we're out of time for today. We hope that we've given you some food for thought. There's definitely a lot to process and a lot to think over. Please do come back and join us again tomorrow for day two of this article. In the meantime, visit our website, and we'd love to hear from you. All right, take care, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.